Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, as you have heard read from the 13th chapter of St. Luke. And our theme this morning, Jesus goes willingly to Jerusalem for you. Please be seated. Dear redeemed of Christ Jesus, I'm going to say a word that's kind of an unusual word, a word that I heard many, many years ago, and it's probably a word that our teenagers and our young people like using, especially as they're sending a text about someone, violating the Eighth Commandment, by the way, and they use the term frenemies. How many of you have frenemies? Well, you have to be careful, you know. You have to be careful if you have an enemy who suddenly slides up to you, throws their arm around you and says, I want to be your friend. Frenemy. Well, this morning, we hear the Pharisees warning Jesus about Herod Antipas. Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. What they are not telling Jesus, though he knows, is that, oh, by the way, Jesus, we, your frenemies, we also want to kill you too. My dear brothers and sisters, the real villain here isn't Herod Antipas. In reality, it's the frenemies, the Pharisees. Now, you must understand, Jesus is a huge threat to the Pharisees, both religiously and morally. The Pharisees know that Jesus is a danger to their doctrine, to their authority, and to their power. Their plot to kill him is already in motion. But since they really don't want Jesus to be a martyr, it's even better. Even better if we could convince him that King Herod is after him. And since Herod is after him, just maybe Jesus will leave Galilee. Well, as you heard last week, after the temptation of Jesus, our text closed with Satan departing from Jesus and waiting for a more opportune time. Now, once again, is another one of those opportune times for Jesus to be tempted. Jesus being tempted to stay away from Jerusalem so that Jesus wouldn't go to Jerusalem. And since Jesus won't be sidetracked, he is determined. Jesus is determined to be obedient to his Father in heaven and to fulfill the plan of salvation for each and every one of you. How does our Lord respond? Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow and the third day. I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Now, our Lord's words may seem a little strange to our Western ears, maybe even illogical. On the one hand, Jesus is saying that he will continue to cast out demons and cure people, and then finally on the third day finish his course to be perfected. But at the same time, he says that he will journey to Jerusalem today and tomorrow and the day after in order to die. Yes, he will die in Jerusalem, but not at the hands of just Herod Antipas or of the Pharisees or even of the hated Romans. No, Jesus will die at the hands of the entire city of Jerusalem. For they will be calling for his death. You remember it? Do you hear it? Crucify him! Crucify him! This is the very same thing that the people in Jerusalem had done to the prophets before. You even heard it yourself this morning in the Old Testament lesson, Jeremiah. And there were many prophets before Jeremiah of whom Jerusalem had put to death. So which is it? Will Jesus cure or will he perish? Will Jesus win or will he lose? Will he be perfected or will he be crucified? Will the crowds ultimately cry out, "Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord," or let his blood be upon us and our children's? Our Lord's two statements just don't seem to go together. Or do they? Jesus is not outlining two possible third days, by the way. He doesn't mean the day after tomorrow, but what Jesus is actually speaking about is he's speaking of the day of resurrection, the first Easter morning. That is when he is perfected, for that is when he is proven that he has perfectly fulfilled God's plan of salvation. So with this text this morning, Jesus isn't suggesting possibilities. He is not being inconsistent, as many will say. He is actually telling them, and he's telling us today, exactly what is going to be happening when he does go to Jerusalem. As he goes, he is going to cure and he's going to cast out. And there's nothing, there is no one who is going to stop him from going to Jerusalem. After all, Jesus is the Son of God and he is about his Father's will. He is the obedient Son and he will not flee. So since Jesus isn't going to flee to the hills, they, the Pharisees, will finally get their chance to get rid of him upon a hill called Golgotha. Yet, the Lord is in charge. He is the King, and he does not die on his cross because of Herod's strength or the plotting of the Pharisees. Nor is he scourged and crucified because of the power of the Romans. My dear brothers and sisters, you and I know this. Jesus goes to his cross by his own accord. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. This is what he has said, and that's exactly what he did. He lays down his life by his own accord, freely, eagerly, because this is his Father's plan for your salvation. Jesus, the all-powerful Son of God, will not be denied for the sake of your redemption. This is your comfort. And this is your hope. Jesus is not a weak man who is overpowered by evil. No matter the hatred of his enemies, he goes to Jerusalem. No matter the plots and the plans of man, nothing will keep him from suffering. Suffering horribly, the full wrath of his Father in heaven. The full wrath of judgment will fall upon him for your sin. And so again we say, Jesus goes to the cross and dies because he wills to do so. Now please understand, my brother and sister, many are willing to concede that Jesus was crucified, no doubt, so long as they don't have to declare that Jesus was in total control. Many scholars, past and present, have suggested that Jesus is just a tragic figure. Oh yes, he's a life-changing teacher who could have had long-lasting effects, but unfortunately, he was put to death, and therefore he didn't make a difference whatsoever. It makes for a sympathetic story for sure. It may even be a heart-rending story. Yet, it robs you of your hope. You see, Jesus is not a visionary whose life is tragically cut short. He is the Son of God in human flesh, who was willing to go to the cross to be the perfect sacrifice for your sin. At the time of His choosing. No, it is not the power of Herod. It is not the power of the Pharisees. It is not the power of Pontius Pilate that crucifies Him. Now, my brother and sister, please listen closely. Neither did I crucify Jesus. I know that is a common saying today. All of us as sinners put Him on the cross. But let's be very, very careful with that. It is a correct statement in declaring the sinfulness of mankind, in declaring that you are a sinner and that I am a sinner. Yet it was not just the Jews or the Romans who killed Jesus, but Christ was crucified for the sins of the whole world. However, your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world did not compel or force Jesus to be conceived of the Holy Spirit, to be born of the Virgin Mary, to walk into the Jordan River to be baptized, nor did it drive Him out into the wilderness. Your sin certainly didn't crucify Him. And what I mean is this. Your sin and my sin did not force Jesus to go to the cross. Jesus went by His own will. He submitted to the suffering. He submitted to the nails. He submitted to dying because He was willing to do so for you and for me and for the sins of the whole world. Now, it may seem strange for a pastor to contradict the popular thought that we crucified Jesus. But consider this. If it's true that we crucified Jesus, if your sin put Him on the cross, then your salvation is dependent on your works. Your works of sin. Don't laugh. There are sadly many people who today believe in this. They boast of the importance of their sins because without it, they wouldn't have a Savior. You see, this is taking the gospel and turning it into law. The gospel is the good news that Jesus died on the cross to take away all of your sin. That's the gospel in its very simplest form. The purpose of the gospel is to comfort you with the truth that your sin is forgiven. But on the other hand, we know that the purpose of the law is to accuse you of your sin. So to say that His death shows me my sinfulness means that death makes you guilty, that it accuses you. The gospel, however, should not be turned into law. It cannot. It should not be turned into law. And that's a problem when it is. First, if the cross accuses you, then it's natural that you wouldn't want to hear about the cross. After all, why do you want to hear about anything that accuses you of your sin? And if you don't want to hear about the cross, then you must not want to hear about the gospel anymore. And if there's no hearing of the gospel, then you won't hear what Jesus has done for you here in dying for you and forgiving you of your sin. So it's not quite right to say Jesus had to die because of my sin, because your sin and my sin did not force Jesus to die. Rather, it's far better to say this, my brother and sister. Because of my sin, Jesus died, so that I may have eternal life. It wasn't your sin that kept him here, but it was his loving desire to be your salvation. You see, this cross isn't law, it's gospel. It is not a symbol of hatred for you and for me. It's a symbol of great love. For here Jesus died to take away the sins of the whole world. And therefore, since he has taken away the sins of the whole world, he has taken away your sin and my sin. Thanks be to Jesus. So finally, Jesus goes. He goes willingly to Jerusalem for each and every one of us. The good news is not that he was executed against his will. The good news is that the cross was Jesus' will because it was his Father's will. The Lamb of God went uncomplaining forth to bear the sin of all sinners. He went willingly to die so that he could give you life. That is why the cross is good news for you. And that's why in our lesson today, that is why Jesus endured. That is why he went to Jerusalem, so that he could take all of your sins away. And so that I may have the great joy to announce to all of you that all of your sin is forgiven. Forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.